tonight. Genesis 15, the covenant of fire. Faith, promise, and prophecy. Our weekly comprehensive Bible study with David Paxton starts now.
Now, right now.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Another episode of Last Christian on our teaching show. Surprisingly enough, we are still on Abram. We're trying to get out, but it's an awful lot of stuff about Abram in there. He's, after all, the start of all things. It's pretty wild. Joel, can you believe we're still on Abram?
Well, I can. 2 years ago, if you'd have told me that we would still be in Genesis after 2 years, I would have said, no, you're crazy. But now...
And we're only on 15, and there's like 900 chapters.
But, you know, honestly, if there's anybody in the Bible outside of Jesus that deserves this, I would say Abram/Abraham is in the top five. Because, when you think about it, he is the father of many nations and descendants. Equal to the sand on the seashore and the stars in heaven. I mean, come on. If anybody deserves a little bit of extra credit, I would say it's probably our buddy Abram/Abraham.
So, yep, it's like the top distributor in a networking company.
Right.
Pretty much everybody in this organization.
Absolutely.
So what's pretty cool, too, is there's all of this talks about contracts, too, which ties into the book that I'm writing, The Generational Contract. So we're going to see a lot of that today. And I'll tell you what. Why don't you pray us in first before we get rolling?
I can do that. Father, we come to you, and we really appreciate this time, Father, to be together, to have the fellowship, and also to be able to speak about your word to everyone out there that's listening in the hopes that we can reach those individuals that need to hear the message the most and those that will allow the Holy Spirit to draw them to Christ, to where they can partake in the same destiny of eternity that David and I know without a doubt that we will experience in heaven as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name, in the name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I wanted to start off with, we were talking last time about Melchizedek, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And then... but also the king of Sodom came and offered him. So he offered him a deal. Hey, I give you all this cool stuff, which was actually, that was kind of the way of the world back then anyway, the code of Hammurabi. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, you know, some nation comes and saves you, you got to give them a lot of stuff. But it just goes to show you how large Abraham was as far as a patriarch. Mm-hmm. So if we just back up a little bit in chapter 14, it said the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons, take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet. That I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich.
Well, can I stop you on that? Because I want to get a full understanding of that. I think probably there's other people out there that are confused about this. Is why wouldn't he accept a gift from somebody that he did help out? I mean, and I'm not saying take anything away from the Lord at all. Or was that the deal, that he was going to have to kind of push the Lord to the side to accept the gift? I'm confused as to why he wouldn't say, okay, well, thank you very much, but I'm still with the Lord. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Does the question make sense?
I mean, in today's world, we think, hey, why not just take this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you got to remember, that was it was an offering of sorts. If we look up, Melchizedek brought bread and wine. And what is the representation of the bread and the wine?
Yeah, that would be like Last Supper type stuff there.
Yeah, because that's how they signed contracts back then.
I see.
So he brought a contract with the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace.
Okay.
So he has a contract with him, and it says, I will bless you, basically. And blessed him, and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of the heaven and the earth. Now, he is the Most High God, and he's setting the stage here. Because he's like, yeah, Sodom had, you know, there's the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. We all know these terms. There was a prince over Sodom as well. Okay. And those were the divine council, the gods that Jesus was talking about. It says you are gods, right? These are the gods and the principalities that were over certain lands. So if he would accept that gift from Sodom, he would be accepting a contract with Sodom and that particular god over that land. And then that god would say, look, I made Abram rich.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Okay.
And
it's
like,
it's just something that I never fully understood it. But, you know, when you put it into the contract terms now, you know, it's almost like you're selling the same house to the, you know, one guy
yeah.
or something. You know, it's basically what it comes down to, right? Something similar. Yeah,
essentially, he was offering him a contract. Hey, here's all this cool stuff. Similar to how, you know, Hollywood, they got we always have the picture of, oh, you sell your soul to the devil and we'll give you all this stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he comes back and for his payment after a time. And people don't realize they can get out of that too, by the way, by repenting and rescinding your signature and accepting the blood contract of the Most High God.
Yeah,
and that's where Abraham starts out this the whole thing.
That's an important point.
Yeah. He clearly says that in verse 22. I lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. Well, that means there's lesser gods. The possessor of heaven and earth. So he's saying, not only is he the Most High God, but he's the one that owns everything.
Well, okay, that brings up another stupid question. I told you
they're great questions.
Jam-packed with it today. But, okay, other gods. Explain the other gods thing. Because, you know, I hate to call anybody in any way a god. You know what I'm saying?
It's a different term back then. Okay. Now, they used gods as like kind of mighty men. Elohim is the word. It's an ordinary sense. It's used in the plural. It doesn't mean what we would say. Like the name of our Most High God is Yahuwah.
Right.
Okay. And they call it the Tetragrammaton because they got some Babylonian stuff and they think they're not allowed to pronounce it, but that's not what the word says. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And so you got to say it. And he tells us to speak his name because it's powerful. But in Psalm 82, it says God stands in the congregation of the mighty. Right? He judges among the gods.
Yeah.
Well, what's that?
Okay.
And he says, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. In other words, you gods, all you other principalities and powers, you're not judging correctly. But he judges among the gods. In other words, he's the God of gods, if you would.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is God, he created this place so people could rule and reign with him. Originally, it was these angels, you know, but then they fell and they, you know, stole the women and raped them. Right. So that's an issue. Okay. We're not allowed to do that. So now we have these principalities and powers who are trying to usurp God's authority, which is why, you know, Jesus had to come back. He paid off our debt contract, bought the title deed back to the earth because it was given to us and he purchased that back. He redeemed us as people, as humans, as his sons and daughters, and he got back the earth too. All creation groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God. He says they're creation itself is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, hey, when we finally take our rulership back that Jesus has given us already, we'll get that. So he says, how long will you judge unjustly? But he's talking about the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Mm-hmm. So we kind of, you know, get ourselves back into this.
Okay.
He's the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth. So that being the case, he says, I will not take a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shalt shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. Mm-hmm. Because here's this principality and power trying to say, well, oh no, Yahuwah didn't make him rich. I made him rich.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got you. Okay. Yeah, that can be an issue.
Yeah, makes sense.
But he said, just pay the men for what they've done. He says, save only the young men which have eaten, the portion of the men which went with me. Let them take their portion. In other words, you have to feed them because they were there working, but it's nothing to do with a reward or a contract.
Right.
But we move on to chapter 15, verse 1, which, you know, in the original, there's no chapter verses and stuff like
right.
that.
Right, yeah.
Which helps us find it.
Mm-hmm.
So check this out. It says, after these things... So after what things? Well, he took the contract with Melchizedek. He gave him tithes. Mm-hmm. He did not accept the contract with Sodom. And so here's this contract. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Mm-hmm. Well, is that really what it says? Let's go back to the Hebrew again.
Okay.
All right. It's always the same thing, right? The it said, after these things, a debar. That's the word. So it could be like the word, but not in, hey, there's just this word that came. It's basically, by implication, there's a matter at hand. So it could be like a thing, adverbially, a cause. So the cause of the Lord, the matter of the Lord, the advice, the affair. All right. It wasn't just the Lord said something. No, he's like, okay. This contract is done with Melchizedek. Now the business matter of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Okay. So there's a business matter that needs to be dealt with.
A vision would have been basically maybe a dream?
It could have been a dream, but it says vision, and it's typically different.
Okay. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, because he's awake during the vision.
Yeah, okay. I mean, but
okay, and some, you know, it, you know, like a movie might have a vision, but it's also mentally to perceive, to contemplate. So it could be just Abraham sitting there, he's praying, and like,
yeah, okay,
I'll have some kind of vision.
I gotcha. I got you. Yeah, and we all get that. Well, from time to time. Yeah, we are. Okay, I'm done. Okay.
Yeah, like
I'm
I had one yesterday. I was just out of nowhere, I heard my sister's voice, and it's like, oh, I have to pray for my sister. So that was kind of a vision for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a weird thing. We think, oh, these people always have visions. No, you know when the Lord's speaking to your heart.
Absolutely, 100%.
And then if he actually shows up, it'll say that. Melchizedek showed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and those guys with the you know, that ate with him actually physically showed up. So that was right. Even more than a vision. That was a visitation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the matter of the Lord, this business matter of Jehovah came, or Yahweh, either one, however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
The business matter of Yahweh came unto Abraham in the vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So there's the English. And what do we know about the English?
Well,
not always that good, right?
Right. It doesn't really, it deviates the, you lose something in the translation.
You lost in translation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the, in verse 1, it says that it is the business matter of the Lord, and it was about the choice of the two contracts. Okay. And it says, okay, verse 2, since basically the idea is since you chose the right contract with Melchizedek, mm-hmm. it says, I am thy the protector.
Okay.
And Abram said, I am thy shield. Mm-hmm. But it says that word there is actually the a protector.
Okay.
Kind of like, so it is, a shield does protect you, mm-hmm. but it's figuratively. So it's a buckler, it's a defense, it's a protector, it's the mm-hmm. scaly hide of a crocodile, because it's all figurative.
Right.
I am your protector. So he says, now I'm going to protect you with this contract that we have. Why? Because we have the bread where they ate the same bread, so the flesh mm-hmm. became one. And then they have the wine, which is the symbolic mm-hmm. of the blood of the grape. So that's an agreement that people have that our contract will be protected unto death between us.
Now, isn't it true that, just kind of on and off topic, really, that when people ate with somebody else, when they had... Mm-hmm. That was more significant than it is today. You know, you just invite yes. people over to your house or whatever. But there was huge significance in breaking bread with someone, correct?
That was the contract terms, okay? And even unlike today you go to the lawyer and both of you sign it. Mm-hmm. But with contracts today, you can rescind your signature from the contract. And if you don't fulfill the contract, they sue you and you might get some money or whatever. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was punishable by death.
Yeah.
That's what the blood was for, the blood of the grape. And that's what Jesus said. This is the blood of the new covenant, or diatheke is a new contract. In other words, he paid for that contract with his death.
Right.
Which means this is an irrevocable contract. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, he is not going to revoke it. He is not going to renege on his end of the contract, no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You could walk away from it, which is the stupidest thing you could ever do.
Yeah, that's ignorant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he will not. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you, and no one can snatch you out of my hands.
Right. But all you right? can give your salvation back. I have arguments with people on Telegram all the time about that. You know, once saved, always saved. Yes, but.
Well, yeah, if you don't walk away from it, yeah.
Right.
Right, it's on you. Uh-huh. So that protector, the implication is to hedge about. So it's a protection. So it is a shield, but it's also a hedge completely surrounding you. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Job. Remember Job? His eyes, you got a hedge around him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he says, and it's an exceeding great reward. That's vehement. So this is like he is bent on this great reward that is tied to the contract.
Okay.
And that's literally what the word means, by the way. The word reward is sakar. Okay.
Sakar,
S-A-K-A-R. The Hebrew 7939, if you want to look it up. And it literally means payment of contract.
Okay.
Or it says, oh, you're exceeding great reward. What does that mean? Oh, I don't know. Well, it means a payment of a contract. What contract? The one he just made with Melchizedek. Okay. And it's exceedingly great. It's not mm-hmm. just great. It's not just super wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's exceedingly or vehemently great.
Over the top kind of stuff.
Over the top.
Yeah.
All right. And gotcha. This imagine that. This is mm-hmm. salvation from mm-hmm. we deserve to be in a pit of hell.
Right.
And this is an exceeding great reward for us that we get to go live with the king and rule and reign with him.
Amen.
That's over the top.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Okay, so that's what this is really talking about. If you look at it, again, everything in the Bible is contract terms, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the word or the matter. So here's the business matter of the Lord. Came to Abraham in a vision. He said, fear not, I am your shield or your great protection. Mm-hmm. All right. And your exceedingly great payment of the contract mm-hmm. is literally what it means in Hebrew.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah.
All right. It's like everywhere. So Abraham was he doubting in verse 2 when he said, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless?
Well, I think, I mean, I'm going by notes, David. Abram was worried about wealth. I don't know why. Seems like he was pretty wealthy.
Okay. He was that's the question. Is he worried about the wealth?
Yeah. Wealth, promises, and victory. He has no heir. But that he really fears Eleazar of Damascus. I know you're going to all these places, but I'm just going.
Well, he's not fearing him in, and I think that's a bad word.
Okay.
To use, he is. Concerned? He's basically saying he's questioning. Remember Mary? Oh. So we got John the Baptist's father, and he says, "Oh, my wife's barren. How are we going to have a kid?" As opposed to Mary's like, wait a minute, I know that, you know, it's got to be a man and a woman, so how am I going to have this child? It's a different thing. They both ask the same question, how's this going to happen? But, Zechariah, JB's father, Zechariah the Baptist, I guess. Zechariah. So he was doubting where Mary was extremely welcoming but curious. If you look at the language. Oh man, that's great. How's that going to work? I want to hear it. In other words, I want to know how this is going to work. This is where Abraham's at. Okay. So it wasn't really a fear of Eliezer of Damascus. It was that's what it was back then.
Like, how is this going to work out? Exactly how is this going to work out, type thing. I can't even put that into a point, but that's basically what it says.
If you didn't have any children, it would go to the head of the household. Okay, and this is where we learn that his name is Eliezer, because later on we'll see his servant is sent to get Rebecca. That's Eliezer, and Eliezer means God is my helper. The God of help. So God is my helper. So Abraham's like, and he said, Lord God, so he gave him the wonderful title. He wasn't questioning him. So Adonai Yahuwah, right? What will you give me seeing that I go childless? He wasn't worried about the wealth. He's like, I got plenty of money because you gave me that. I got plenty of food. I got plenty of servants. But you're telling me I get an exceeding great reward. So in his mind, an exceeding great reward is offspring.
Okay.
Because that's the real riches is your progeny, right? Your offspring.
Yeah.
Because your money is just going to go.
So he's like focused mainly. He's thinking that this is going to come through adoption or through.
He doesn't know. Yeah. He's like, is it going to be Eliezer?
Yeah.
And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So here's the head guy, Eliezer, born in his house, is his heir. So we got Abraham as a representation of God the Father. Eliezer is God is my helper, the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to see, you know, the son coming. But he's going to have an imposter son before that. So in verse 4, we see, and behold, again, the debar, the word of Yahweh came to him saying, so here's the revelation of God's Spirit, came to him saying, nope, he shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So he's making a promise to Abram,
who is now 90 years old, if I remember correctly.
He's pushing 100.
Yeah, okay. Or maybe 98.
And Sarah was pushing 90.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'm going back to the original. Yeah, okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he's out there, and he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. So I might be wrong, but there's a lot of stars out there.
There's
right?
a bunch. Yeah, there's several of them up there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Innumerable.
There's a couple. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough stars that they've counted so far or estimated that every person on a planet can have 11 trillion stars.
Mm-hmm. That's just
so there's a lot of stars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But he, you know, he was pushing this. I think there's a number of things that he goes in here. Number one is, listen, you can't even count them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And number two, they're going to rule and reign because they're as the stars. Mm-hmm. And these stars were basically representations of the spirits in the heavens. They, like, each one had their own little sticker on the refrigerator. Hey, there's Joey. No, that's just his sticker. Yeah, but that represents Joey. I love it. So, also, it represents some of these offspring are obviously going to rule with him in the stars. So that's interesting. But they're innumerable. You can't even count them. And he said, right. So shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Just because he believed him. So here he is, you know, pushing 100. And he says, okay, if you say so, then that's what it's going to be. And he said to him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And here's where it gets interesting. Okay. He's going to make another contract with him. So, but check this one out. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. It sounds like Christmas, right? And he took unto him all these. You know, we think, okay, yeah, he went and got them. That must have taken a little bit.
A little bit of time.
I got to go three mm-hmm. heifers and get them up here.
Yep.
And he divided them into mitts and laid each piece one against another's, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Why? So what is this deep sleep all about, and why was it a horror of great darkness?
Well, I mean, if I laid out a bunch of stuff, and then it got dark on top of that, and I still don't really know what's going on, it would be a little bit
mm-hmm.
weird, concerning. What would you? Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to label it. You tell me. Am I close?
Yeah, I mean it's in there. It's. I think horror is a bit rough. I think he's just right. frightened and like, mm-hmm. like, well, what's going on here? This get a little bit scary here.
Got to figure this out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let us figure this out. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into the rest of this because this is another contract that's coming up.
Okay.
And we're going to see this, and it's going to be analogous to the same contract that Jesus laid for you. So that being said, if we're still here for the second half and not raptured yet, I would highly suggest right now that you accept the blood contract that Jesus gave for you because you violated terms and conditions of the original one. So somebody's got to pay for that. It's either you got to pay for it or he's got to pay for it. He said he'll pay for it. So, Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
If you're tired of being treated like you're too stupid to think for yourself with all the politically motivated and biased reporting from the left and right, then it's time to tune in to the KRRB Revelation Radio News Network, where truth has a voice. Here, the news comes from a truthful Christian perspective. No political agenda or bias. Just simple, honest reporting grounded in fact and biblical truth. Every day, we bring you the East Texas news, followed by news from around the world from a Christian viewpoint in just 30 minutes. This is your chance to stay informed, stay faithful, and receive the news anchored in truth. Join us every weekday at 11:30 a.m. Central in East Texas on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 a.m. or anytime on revelationradio.net. Trait News from KRRB Revelation Radio News Network. Your home for unfiltered and censored truth.
Okay, I think we made it back.
We did.
You back? Okay, Joel's back too. That, what a wonderful thing. Hope you enjoyed those commercials, everybody. So they pay the bills. So you know, they don't pay us. They pay the radio station.
There you go. There you go.
So we were talking about Abram, and he went and got three heifers, three goats, three rams. Oh, one ram, 3 years old, heifer, 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. So he's got all this cool stuff. That's a whole nother deal to figure out why those animals. We're not going to talk about that today. But this is the main thing. It says he took all these and divided them into mitts and laid each piece one against another. So he flayed them out, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they call that spatchcock, you know, which is a cool word. Have you spatchcocked your chicken yet? No, not today. But check it out. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a metaphor in there, because the fowls are, you know, like metaphors for demons coming down, trying to steal the payment of the contract. So, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. So he just fell asleep. Boop. Mm-hmm. God knocked him out. All right. It didn't say he went to sleep. It said it fell upon him.
Yeah.
And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him as well. So we're thinking of this again. It says, oh, the horror. Mm-hmm. And the word is ema. And it just means something frightful. So I think horror is a little bit over the top for this.
Well, the horror. From the notes, it just says dread. And I think that probably fits
like
it.
Like a dread.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, so it's in the dread of great darkness fell upon him. In other words, it got really dark, and that's why it was scary. You ever been out, and like, you know, when there's no moon?
Oh, yeah.
And it's, and it's cloudy, and there's like, you can't see nothing.
Right.
I think there's, so the darkness fell upon him. In other words, he was out. Mm-hmm. Out like a light.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So it's like, wait a minute, I didn't even have any kids yet. Now you're going to tell me they're all going to be afflicted for 400
years. Four centuries. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. So there's a reason for it. There's a, you know, this country, he obviously led them into it. And then it says, but the fourth generation, so you got, you know, that's where they went. Mm-hmm. Abraham, then Isaac, and then Jacob, and all Jacob's kids went into the land. So there's the fourth generation. And you shall go to thy fathers in peace and shall be buried in a good old age. So here's a contract he lays out, because those are also contract terms when you shed the blood of animals. But this, if you notice, it's a one-sided contract.
Okay.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Because Abram was put to sleep.
Oh, so he couldn't accept something because he was asleep.
Yeah, so he couldn't reject it. There's nothing he could do about it. So when you look at this, and this leads into, you know, the heresy of, you know, replacement theology. Because what you're neglecting to see here is that Abram had nothing to do with it.
It's more it was like God's a commandment, promise. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Certainly, okay.
And he says, know of a surety. All right. So these are the things that's going to happen. And it's going to start with 400 years of captivity. Unto thy seed, in verse 18, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. That's a lot of land, folks.
Yeah. Here we go with the river to the sea thing again. You know.
Yeah, but it's even better. It goes up to the Nile River.
Right.
So get ready for that. Uh-huh. It goes to the big rivers. That this is all going to be the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
whole from the Euphrates to the Nile. So that's going to be fun and exciting.
Yeah.
But it's like I was saying, Abraham was put to sleep. So if he was put to sleep and had nothing to do with, hey, I'm going to sign this, it has nothing to do with whether he's a good boy or a bad boy or whether his offspring are good or bad or anything, does it?
It's just the way it's going to be. The
it's
end of story.
It's just the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, they pretty much messed up all along the way.
Thus the reason for the 400 years?
Yeah, that, and then we get up to Jesus and look what they did with him, and they, you know, still been doing it, and you still got Kabbalah and Zionists and mm-hmm. a whole bunch of different things. The mm-hmm. Ashkenazis, I mean, there's so many different things, and some say, oh, they're Jews and they're not. I think the red part, anything red, like Rothschild is red, anything red kind of harkens back to Edom, speaking of, you know, they that are Jews, but call themselves Jews, but are not. Edomites did that. Like, you know, Herod. Herod was an Edomite, but they're like, no, I'm a Jew. Mm-hmm. Well, not really. Okay. So I think it leans in that direction. That's a whole other study in itself as well. Mm-hmm. But anything red has come down, and they're still controlling the banking today. And it's going to be that way, folks. We can sit here and fight and complain and all this. We're just going to let you know what's happening and how it's the Babylon system. But it's going to be Jesus who comes back, and he's going to destroy the entire statue. All right? From mm-hmm. the gold head to the silver torso to the bronze midsection and then to the iron and clay legs. He's going to destroy them all at once, it says in Daniel. So he's going to come back. And he's going to rule and reign. And we just make sure we're on his side. We're not going to take over for him. So don't even try.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
our goal basically is we have to just win people to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't have to take over the
or
world.
At least
Jesus
try.
Is going to take over the world.
At least try. You know, we're, I tell people that all the time. I can't save you. You know, all I can do is I can testify. I can point you. In, mm-hmm. in the
I
right
can
direction.
Slap you in the head, but yeah. you have to decide.
Yeah, it's your choice. You get the free choice. You know, it's that's between you and, you know, hopefully the Holy Spirit comes to you and you know, hopefully you accept Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. But you know, that's your call, 100%. Now, David, I don't know if I should ask this now or not, but I'm going to.
Why not?
And then if you want to put me off, you can. But I was looking here. Again, part of the notes in chapter 15, somewhere mm-hmm. in 18 through 21, okay? And it lists all these nations, okay? And I'm not going to waste our time reading them all, but I am going to ask this question down here. This territory has never permanently been held by Israel completely, aside from a near fulfillment in Solomon's reign. It mm-hmm. awaits messianic fulfillment. I didn't know that. I thought at one time all of Israel belonged to the Jews. So that's news to me.
Satan's been trying to take it ever since, even before they went in there. I mean, you had the Canaanites mm-hmm. were all in there.
Right.
And this is what happened. So Satan read this, and he's like, oh, 400 years? So now he knows that it's the Most High God. He knows from the council of the gods, the Elohim, he knows that that portion of land from that river, the Nile, to the Euphrates, all belongs to the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he do? He started to set down a minefield.
Yeah, and okay. There's a whole bunch of them listed here, too.
Yeah, and he put the minefield, and he's like, I'm going to put the giants in here, and I'm going to mm-hmm. put them all over. And then there's going to be the Prince of Persia. We're going to put him over there. And so now he's spending 400 years trying to get the giants in there so mm-hmm. The offspring of Abraham will not be able to inherit it.
Yeah, okay. But God didn't put a time limit on it. He just said this is going to happen. That's how.
Well,
that's
it's going to happen. But remember, the contract, if you sign a marriage contract, You're not married until the day you get married, but you have the right everything to that marriage. And that's how they operated back then. That's why, that's why Mary was like, Joseph's like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, she's going to be stoned because we are engaged.
Right.
They weren't married yet. So they didn't consummate the marriage, but they were engaged. So the legal rights were like they were married. Mm-hmm. If you sign a contract to buy a house, you get all the legal rights to that house, but there's that closing day when you actually get the key and you move in. So that's where we are now. We're in the contract portion where it was signed, sealed, and has to be delivered when Jesus returns.
Gotcha.
And that's after the, you know, the Father says, okay, now the house is ready. He says, go to prepare a place for you. And no one knows when I'm coming back except the Father, because that's the way it worked back then. The groom would have that whole marriage supper thing, and that would be the first half of the wedding supper. And then once she accepted the contract, if she didn't accept that contract, there's no wedding. If she did, okay, great, yay, we all celebrate. You're technically married, but then he says, I got to go, and I got to prepare the house because we're going to live there. And it's got to be cool, and we're going to have kids and all this other stuff. So he's got to go prepare a place for us.
Amen.
And since it's a part of the Father's house, the Father looks at it and says, oh, well, you know, the plumbing's not really good. You need to change that toilet. And you know what? There's not enough dishes. She's going to want more dishes. And so he is over there making it. And when he looks around and says, okay, now she's ready. Go get your bride, son.
Yeah.
And no one knows when that is. It's when the Father decides.
Amen.
That's what the idiom. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't know. He's Almighty God. He knows. But the idiom was like, okay, you make the decision as to when. And that's basically what we're seeing here, is when he comes to get us, then we're going to move into that house.
Gotcha. Okay.
In the meantime, you got all these giants trying to take over, and then you got a whole bunch of people that say, no, 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 Abraham was my father, you know, and you stole it from me. So here we go. They're going to fight for a while, but rest assured, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which means there's more kings and more lords, and he's just the biggest, best, and the best, and the strongest. So he's going to take over and rule, and then the whole world will be under his jurisdiction. That's going to be fun.
Amen. I agree.
Okay. So we got the, gigabytes, the megabytes, terabytes, all these Girgashites.
There's a bunch of ites in there. Yeah. A whole bunch. Yeah.
So what happens? True to form. And that this is all through history. We see Adam had the boys, right? And the first boy killed the second boy. Cain killed Abel, but then he had a replacement. So we have that same thing. Now we have the picture of Eve. She sinned, and Adam jumped in after her to get her. He's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to live without her? No, can't do that. So he jumped in. So we see the picture of the second born, you know, Seth was after that. So Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel, and then Abel was replaced by Seth. So that's the lineage that we're going to go through. We see that Adam is a type of Christ, where he jumped in to rescue Eve, if you would. Because even Paul says it wasn't Adam who sinned, it was Eve. And so, or deceived. And so he went in after her. So yeah, the sin is there. Let me see, where is that actually? Here we go. But I feel the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your mind be corrupted. And it was not Adam. All right, cool. But that's the idea. We'll get off another rabbit trail. rabbit trails.
We're good at
like
that.
Like dust bunnies. So there's the basic idea of that. It's a contract that says you have nothing to do with this. This is my covenant and my blood. Mm-hmm. And he went through and said, it's just going to happen this way. So they can't even lose it if they tried that inheritance. Now, on an individual level, if they don't receive the Lord, they're not saved. But as a nation level, they're going to inherit it. And Zechariah says that 2/3 will be destroyed through the tribulation period, but the 1/3 will come through. And that's what he's talking about with the land. And if we go into this, we see in... where are we here? Let's go to Genesis. All right. It says the sand. So it likens him to dust. In Genesis 13, mm-hmm. we saw a little earlier, he said it was, you know, he's like, your offspring will be like the dust. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like an earthly thing, this and the sand of the sea. So the dust of the earth, the sand of the sea, it's an earthly multitude that he's talking about. So we see that now, that every last Jew on the planet, and they're all over the place, and no matter what Satan tries to do them, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And that's an earthly multitude, like the sand of the sea,
right?
Mm-hmm. All right, but then there are those who are also saved spiritually, like primarily the church, but there's a lot of Jews that, you know, receive Jesus as Messiah too, so they're technically part of the ecclesia as well,
right?
And they will be like the stars of heaven. And if you look at that, that's a two offspring. So it says, when, you know, our, you know, we're sons of Abraham, and we're, according to the inheritance, we inherit all the blessings of Abraham. Well, yeah, we are, but that doesn't mean we take over Israel, because Israel is still going to rule on the earth when Jesus comes back. And then the church, or the bride of Christ, is going to rule in the heavenlies, mm-hmm. In that realm over the earth. So it's going to be like a little bit higher, because even John the Baptist, Jesus said, you know, he's the greatest man ever, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he is. Mm-hmm. Does that mean he does better things? He's smarter? None of that. No, he's got a higher rank. Mm-hmm. So, and even John the Baptist even said, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the best man kind of mm-hmm. a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I don't proclaim to be the bride of Christ, if you would, because he wasn't. No. You know, he was the announcer of the bridegroom to come. So he was a great man. He was the greatest mm-hmm. prophet ever, but even the least in the kingdom has a higher rank than he does. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's really talking about. And the dust could also be like a universal spread, because dust goes all through the air too. And, you know,
oh yeah.
So we see it, mm-hmm. but you know, we like to say that all the time. The sandwiches on the seashore. Mm-hmm. that's in a couple more verses. Genesis 22:17 says, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So we're gonna, you know, come one, and take over.
Here's one. You ready for this one? I got a good one for you this time, because we've got Jewish friends, okay. Mm-hmm. And we have Jewish friends that are saved. So, end of the world comes. Where they serve? On the ground or in the air?
Well, if they receive Christ before the rapture, they're part of the bride.
Okay.
All right. Okay, because Paul specifically has three different groups when he talks. Because you have A, the Israel, right? Uh-huh. B is the ecclesia, mm-hmm. and C is the Gentiles.
There you go. Okay. I honestly didn't know the answer to that question, because they are Jewish. You know, so that's okay. Right. Well, maybe they're going to serve on the ground, but they're like over everybody else that serves on the ground. Or, well, like you said,
think about it, you know, it's calling out to a higher rank, mm-hmm. because now Jesus took over. all those principalities and powers, and then these appear. And so some of the people that will come up, they're like, they're called out. That's what ecclesia means, the called out one.
Right.
And it, you know, and it implies a governmental role.
Again, it's so more, more contracts, David. I'm your contract thing. Just it's eternal. True. You know, literally.
That's how we made everything.
Literally. Yeah.
It's got to have a contract, or else how do you know what to do? What are the terms and conditions?
Right.
You know, what's a bird going to know? How's a bird going to fly? It's like, well, I don't know. It's not written anywhere. Well, okay. Well, here's the contract. Genesis chapter 1, you're going to fly. You're going to go and fly around the firmament. You're going to lay eggs and produce things that look like you. Okay? And then the horses. Okay, you're going to walk around and you're going to produce things that look like you. It's all contractors. Yeah. It has to be written somewhere.
Right. Okay. All right. I had to throw that one in. You know, if it starts here, it comes out here.
And and quickly.
And very quickly. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, let's zip into chapter 18 since we got a couple, 2-3 minutes.
Okay.
Now, Sarah's wife, or Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. Think of that. So here, Abram trusts the Lord, and he believes the Lord, but now, who's telling him to go into the other woman to have a baby?
That would be
Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Or Sarai at this point.
Yeah, so she was trying to hurry up the process is what it comes down to.
Well, she didn't believe.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. That's
you know, true. So here's Abraham's believing. And, but, you know, now he's listening to his wife who didn't really believe because she's like, well, how's this going to happen? I'm like, I'm freaking, you know. Well, at this point, she's, I think, 89? In her 60s.
Oh, I thought it was 80s. Okay.
No, because Ishmael was born. You know, several, like 17 years earlier.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
So, and then it's got to be a little time to go back and forth. So, maybe she's 60s, maybe early 70s. Now, she's really pretty because everybody wants to take her.
Right.
Okay. But she thinks that the Lord has restrained her from bearing, and she's past that time.
So, and Abram is buying into this because of just for those facts. I mean, okay. All right, go ahead.
Because, you know, when he's off on his own, he does all right. And when he, you know, listens to the wife, she's like, you know, and, you know, not for nothing, you know, who's going to turn that down? Right? He's like, all right.
Okay.
Just remember, it was your idea.
Yeah, if you say so. You know? Okay.
But that was standard practice back then anyway, because it was like a reproach for a woman not to have kids. So if she had a handmaid and she can have a kid, she would just take that kid and raise it as her own.
Right.
And say, okay, here's my kid. And it would take away her reproach. It was kind of normal back then.
Okay.
Kind of weird to think about today.
Yeah.
Listen, we got a maid. Why don't you go have kids with her and then I'll keep it.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
And that's really so where Abram's at. But he's also now, is he really trusting the Lord?
He is not. Not he's not fully bought in.
Yeah. So, and you just got to ask yourself, well, is he really trusting the Lord? Is he just listening to his wife? Does he really believe that this is what he meant? Because later on, he's like, Ishmael.
I think that's the, if it was me, that's how I would approach this, is that he feels like this, that this is the way that, that the Lord wanted to go about, you know, fulfilling the deal, you know?
Right. So this is the way the Lord's going to do it.
Yeah, he just bought into the concept of it, yeah.
and, you know, not understanding that God had a better way, but he had to let it pan out because it, you know, plays into the narrative.
Right.
Yeah, you can do things man's way, and then you're going to have this chaos for centuries, or you could do it my way, and then there's going to be a miracle, people. Mm-hmm. But look at the time frame here, too. In 16, verse 3, it says, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to husband Abram, to her husband Abram, to be his wife. Mm-hmm. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and she saw that she had conceived, and her mistress was despised in her eyes. Mm-hmm. So she's like all upset this happened, but this was 10 years later. So now we're, you know, pushing early 60s, though, she's
right,
where she couldn't have the kids. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until 10 years. And we don't think about this. We think this all happened at once.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. When you read Bible initially, it feels like it's like a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it wasn't until, like, I think Ishmael was, what, like 17 when, finally. Right. So God is like, yeah, let's push this a little further. We'll wait for 10 years and then that, and then another 17. So it's like, it's decades after she already said she was too old.
Uh-huh,
so
yeah.
how much, you know, can she? It's like, yes, you're beyond.
Yeah, childhood. You're beyond the possibility, yeah. Which is exactly what God wanted it to be. He wanted it to be something that just was totally 100% impossible.
Yeah. It's like being 90. Imagine 90-year-old woman giving birth these days.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So now she's upset because the handmaid's pretty, and Abraham's like, now he's messing with this kid. So he's not even my kid. And she's getting all upset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Sarai said unto Abram in verse 5, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. So here's Hagar, and she's an Egyptian, so which means all of the Muslims are, you know, from Ishmael, are half Egyptian.
Yeah.
Simple. He was despised in her eyes. So the Egyptian, Hagar, despise Sarah. She's like, look, I had a kid. And you didn't, you know, because look how wonderful I am. And Abram likes me and he likes my kid. And so she's all like, yay, into herself. But Abram said to Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Mm-hmm. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in a wilderness, by the fountain on the way to her. Okay, so we're gonna have to pick up I think next week on this.
Yeah.
But again, this was, you know, this was years later. Years later. I think it was like 17, like I said. And we'll get into that and we'll find it. But it's like you read the verses and it seems like, oh, this happened, and then, you know, the next verse this happened, next verse this happened.
Yeah.
Like 20 something years later.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Again, it's contracts. Just like always, if you have sinned, which you probably did, you've broken the terms and conditions, you violated them of the original contract, says don't eat that. You know, you're trying to be God without him, basically. And Jesus said, I'll have to come back and I'll pay for that for you. And then, you know, John 3:18 says, if you don't accept that, you're condemned already.
Right.
So it's not like, hey, this is a cool little choice. No, you're already condemned. You're already on your way to hell, and Jesus offered you a way out. Lord willing, we'll see you with us when we go. Just take that contract. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for The Last Christian. Tonight's message blessed you or challenged you, please take a moment to visit lastchristian.net. There you can donate to support this listener-powered ministry, and you can subscribe for updates so you never miss an episode. While you're online, like and share. Help us push the truth farther and faster than the darkness can run. We'd love to hear from you, too. Your prayers, your testimonies, and your partnership keep this broadcast on the air and the gospel front and center. So head to lastchristian.net to connect, to give, and to stand with us. And remember, you can catch The Last Christian every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. So set a reminder, invite a friend, and join us again tomorrow night. Until then, stay watchful, stay faithful, and keep looking up. Till next time, good night, and God bless.